Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
Okay, so we're Eagles win. We rush out of the bar, head over to Broad Street, where it is already wall-to-wall people up at, like, around Walnut Street. And I'm like,
how loud is it?
Oh, so loud. I mean, there's just like fireworks going off and people yelling and screaming, go birds in your face, like every 2 seconds, Eagles chant, all of it. Like, it's crazy mayhem. So much fun. So we're like, we want to walk into Broad Street, right? So we go into the first intersection. Every intersection is shoulder to shoulder people, just chaos, and nobody knowing where they're going. They're just like, they want to go to Broad Street. So I like, let's get through this. And I like grab my friend and I'm like, I'm gonna get us through this. I'm tall and big, could not get anywhere. So he's like, you're ridiculous, let me do this. So he does, pushes us through. All of a sudden I'm like, we are like cutting through this crowd like a knife, going so fast. I've never experienced this before. I've been to hundreds of concerts and festivals and big events like this where it's just hard to move. We're like going so fast through this crowd, and it's like kind of fun, you know, because there's so many people. We get to the second block and we're going fast, and I'm just like going with it because I've had a few drinks, not gonna lie. And this kid is like on someone's shoulders, and I look up and he's like, yo, be careful, that old dude's got a poop. And I was like, wait, what? And we like keep going fast as fast. And I'm just like,
old dude, referring to your friend.
Like, is he talking about me? You know?
Yeah.
Or is it my friend? And then I like lean up and I hear my friend, and I'm like, what? I think he's saying, I have to poop to every person he's walking past. I have to poop. Watch out. I have to poop. I have to shit out to the next crowd. I'm like, are you telling people you have to poop? And he's like, yeah, it's getting through the crowd. And it worked. I will use that trick at any event in the future. So funny.
It works better than like police or, you know, help or something like, I have to poop.
So funny. So anyway, good story. Well, go Birds. It was a great Super Bowl.
Nice. Pro tips.
Yes. All right, let's get into the huddle. What's top of mind for you this week?
Cards.
Really?
Cards. Yeah.
Team angle, conversation cards.
So excited. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit more today.
Yes, we are.
What about you?
My huddle is, so I joined the Agile Network this week as an expert.
Oh,
so
right. You were crowned or ordained?
I was crowned an Agile expert. No. Through our friend Dave Pryor. So I'll be doing talks and Q&A sessions, ask me anything, like all kinds of stuff, workshop sessions, all of that over there. I think I've committed to at least 4 hours of new content a month. So if y'all are interested, meet me over there. I can put the, I have a promo code that I'll put in the show notes.
Cool. So let's get into this week's the review on our Team Angle articles. We're back to communication topics and talking about, you know, rhythm, cadence, consistency, basically just how to communicate better to your team. If you haven't checked those out, I think we're also starting a new, what do you want to call it? Like a new theme with these posts. I know we're a little bit behind, but it's, you know, another essentially like a 12-week theme that we're kicking off. So check those out if you haven't already. But I really want to get into our, you know, like kind of why we're here. This has been building up for so long.
Right. Yeah.
Let's over to you.
Yeah. I mean, so you already kind of mentioned it. We're launching the Team Angle conversation cards. In fact, they are launched. They're live on our website.
Yeah, they're there.
Live in our store. Yep. You and I have been going back and forth on all of the marketing of it all. So we're excited to talk about the Team Angle conversation cards. And I think we want to talk about why we made them, what they do, maybe what our favorite cards are. Yeah, let's just get into it. Let's start off with, you know, kind of why we made the cards, because I think that's a big part of the story and a big part of like why Team Angle even is a thing for us.
Yeah. So when you and I were working on developing the diagnostic, the Team Angle diagnostic, and that in that product and service, there's a series of questions that pertain to communication, collaboration, and culture. And just taking a step back from the work we did there, recognizing like, hey, these questions, some of them need to be adapted, but these would actually make for really good prompts, not just for one-on-ones, but even for like just group conversations. And thinking about how many leaders that I, you know, directors and whatnot that I have led, mentored, et cetera, and how one-on-ones especially, and team conversations too, but one-on-ones, there's a lot of folks that don't have a lot of good experiences on facilitating, hosting, running, whatever you want to call it, good one-on-ones. And so I thought, hey, you know, we could take these and turn them into a deck so that those leaders out there that and there are a lot, that haven't been trained, haven't had the benefit of learning how to run proper one-on-ones, proper team conversations, that we could help them get into the questions that really matter, that drive those real conversations that are so helpful for team health and team success.
Yeah. I think, too, that the other thing for me is, I'm with you, like those questions just kind of evolved into, wow, this diagnostic can give you data, but we can also create a tool that would just help teams to uncover challenges or even mm-hmm. just talk about successes or areas of alignment they didn't know existed. And I think for me, like especially experience as a project manager, it's like you always think about the process being the thing that's broken. Like, oh, this didn't work. Oh, it's something wrong with the process. But what we're talking about with Team Angle goes deeper than process. And those are the things, those are the areas where there's actually problems. It's not about like the act of how you're assigning tasks and, you know, doing, you know, whatever task before another, before you deliver something. Of course, there are always issues with that. But I think what we find and what Team Angle is all about is finding the challenging spots that lie between communication, collaboration, and even how culture is established or practiced or experienced. Those are the areas where big misalignment causes bigger underlying issues to the process. So I think this is really exciting because I think in our work, we've already found how these simple conversations can uncover smart, actionable, and even sometimes simple solutions to fix problems.
Yeah. Well, so there's two things I want to say about that. One is this isn't just a deck of prompts because there are other decks out there that are like questions you can ask and they range from, you know, kind of bizarre and stupid to insightful, but it's still you ask a question and how many times even in your own experience, my experience, you ask a question hoping to get somewhere with a conversation that will turn into an insight and you know, you just don't get the response that you're looking for. And even like when I have met with people that are reported to and I gave them what I thought was, okay, cool, good question. Here's my, you know, my thoughtful response. And you get a, okay.
Right.
And I go back to, I think a lot of folks don't, they don't know that, hey, like dig deeper. We're not all born with that kind of, you know, researcher mindset of, oh, interesting. Why did you say that? You know?
Right.
And that's why, and I'm going to hold up some cards here. That's why we have a like important component are these response cards, right? Not just to ask the question, but then to have good responses to be able to keep that going that leads to the insights that are so helpful.
I think that's a really good segue because I did want to talk about, you know, not only what did the cards do, but how do you use them? And I think one of the biggest takeaways from the initial like testing feedback we got that really stuck for me was these cards are a framework for how to have conversations about topics that we wouldn't necessarily always think about having or like asking questions. We wouldn't. So do you want to talk a little bit about like the structure of the deck and how the cards work?
Yeah, so there's 78 cards. Three of those are kind of like instructions and, you know, get more information on one-on-ones. But then there are four types of cards. There's your questions that pertain to communications, collaboration, and culture. And then you've got, like I showed you, the response cards. And there's, I want to say it's like 13 communication, 15 collaboration, 17 culture cards, which is kind of interesting. You can kind of see, you know, more importance, I think, on the communication, but also like the effect that communication has on collaboration and culture, that there's those other questions. Anyway, then there's 28 response cards, which is a demonstration there of this isn't a one-to-one. Right. There's not like ask this question. And then there's only like four or five response cards.
There's a little bit of a choose your own adventure in the response cards.
One of our early test decks, we did have just like, here's eight types of responses.
Yeah.
You know, and in that early testing, it was like, this still isn't enough. It's not enough direction.
Yeah. Now we have, because I remember sitting down when in the last version, I'm making sure that there were at least three response cards for every question, whether you answered it yes or no. So right. There's a lot of different ways to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. And we've created this structure that is basically question card with a yes or no response that you then kind of like survey what the general sentiment is there. And then there are these conversation cards to allow you to further the conversation about the kind of like the who, the what, the why, and how's it making you feel part of it too. Why do you think it works? Like we've heard back from some folks who've tested, and I want to talk about that, but why does this structure work or framework?
So, because one, there's kind of like a little bit of a hidden, there's not a card for it. We actually tested cards for someone to say, or hold up a card that said yes, no, or maybe. Right. So you talk about the framework. The intent is you ask a card, there needs to be a yes or no response. Maybe it doesn't work. And all the questions are yes, no questions, right? So that then when you get an indication, you know, someone has addressed it in a very affirmative way as opposed to, well, kinda, or maybe, or, you know, I don't know, that then enables you to ask a very then direct question. Right, a direct follow-up question. I feel like there's a couple of reasons that the response cards work is because it makes it so that the person that is facilitating that conversation, it's not up to their ability to follow up with a card that's going to take the conversation to the next level. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to say that in a way that, because I don't want to say folks, there's a lot of folks that can't do this. Again, it goes back to, I think there's a lot of people that just haven't had really good experiences in these types of conversations to know, to develop those skills, to be able to actively listen and kind of know what's the natural follow-up to that answer.
We should mention too, that as a part of the instructions, we have some content for folks who are purchasing the deck about how to facilitate the cards in a group setting, in a one-on-one setting, remotely, as well as in person. But we also give some direction on how to create a safe space for these types of conversations and practicing empathy and all of that. So I think with all of that combined, these cards work because they essentially, again, force conversations that teams might not have. And then in a safe space, you get to see where the alignment exists or misalignment exists, and then openly talk about those things, always pointing at a solution or a next step.
Or even just like awareness, right? And you know, where all of our stuff is geared for action, but even just that awareness that you didn't know. And I think back to, and I was looking for this quote from Pettit Kennett Wilson, And we've heard this from other people, but, you know, in a different way, of the deck drove important emotive conversations and solutions on topics we'd never get to so quickly and honestly.
Yeah.
And thank you, Petta, for that response, because it's a very eloquent version of what we've heard from other teams, right? Where, you know, especially there are conversations that the team wants to have, but can be very awkward to be the one to bring up the topic, right? To even carry on the conversation for, like, even the leader. And so the cards are, in a way, the mechanism to be able to get into that without anybody feeling attached, you know, to the one that brought it up.
Right. Right. Yep.
You know, exactly. You know, kind of branded as the, oh, you're that person.
Unless you're a leader who thinks that way, and then you've got bigger problems to deal with.
Right. Cards ain't gonna help you.
Let's move on to our last question here. I want to know what your favorite card is.
My favorite card, and I do want to point out, this is interesting because I don't know if your deck has this, because, you know, we've done a couple test batches. But my favorite card is Collaboration 10, right? So all the cards have a code at the bottom. And my version of the card is, do we have shared priorities and goals? I feel like that question right there is one, especially in collaborative cross-functional teams. That one question there would just help pave the way for success to get to things, you know, more meaningful outcomes faster if everybody knew what everybody is, you know, what they're trying to do with their work, how they're going to be measured. Yeah.
My favorite card is, does our team have a shared language? So I have an older version of the deck without the number, but I know it's Communication 01. Mm-hmm. And I like this question because I have worked as a project manager on so many teams of very talented people who are disconnected by discipline or department, and you bring them together on a project, assuming we all work in the same organization, we know how to do this together, to only find out that we call deliverables different things. We work with clients who call deliverables or even projects different things. They have a whole set of language of their own that we have to learn. And that can happen between disciplines internally too. So to me, like, asking this question really can help you to align everyone to make sure you are talking about not just the work and the deliverables and what you call things, but how we do the work. Like, there's so much in this that I think can really get people excited about working with each other too.
It just occurred to me that this is interesting. Your favorite question and my favorite question. This is like the peanut butter and chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Of team dynamics right here, of right. What drives the team dynamics. And if you don't know the answer to those questions, that's what creates the avoidable friction, the unnecessary friction on teams, is the absence of awareness and knowing those two things.
And like the idea of asking these questions could be scary to some leaders, because what if someone says no? I think the best thing that you can do is create a space where someone says no. No, yeah. We don't have a shared language, and no, I don't understand what you're saying. You can solve that so quickly and easily without any friction just by having that conversation. And I think that's pretty cool.
Well, it goes back, just the last thought on that is, it goes back to something that you have said time and time again, is that, you know, leaders don't have to have all the answers. You know, if you're a director, if you're a manager, whatever your title is, that role doesn't necessitate that you know how to do everything.
Right.
Right. And even how to respond to these kinds of questions. That's why we have the response cards. But more importantly is, you know, to that, what you were, that scenario that you were talking about, you'd actually want that, right? Because the more unknowns that you uncover, right, the more awareness that you drive, the healthier, stronger your team's going to be.
Correct. All right. I'm going to segue us into the ask, because obviously the ask this week is about the conversation cards, right? We think conversations shape teams, and these cards
absolutely
really do make those conversations easier and more impactful. So we hope that you'll check them out, try them in your next meeting. maybe set aside some time with your team to have like a conversation based on just one or two of the cards. Maybe if you're a leader and you have one-on-ones and you want to try asking some of these questions one-on-one, do that. I've done that in my one-on-ones and it's been really interesting. But yeah, buy the cards, please. Go to our shop. There's a link in our show notes, or go to sameteampartners.com and let us know how it goes. Would love to hear your feedback and thoughts.
So easily be the best money you've spent for work this year.
79.
Easily. Yep. Easy, easy, easy. All right, let's get into this week's hit list. What are you reading, listening? You don't have a watching. I don't have a reading. You don't have a watching.
No, I just have a reading. I haven't been watching anything this week. It's been so busy here. Reading, I have this post called Resilience, the most covered coveted leadership skill for 2025. And I think this is, I called this out to you in Slack earlier. I think this is what we're all about. Like, this is really what we're talking about. This aligns so well with the conversation cards. I feel like the conversation cards are a tool to help you realign and be more resilient because you are aligned with your team. And I think just overall, it's a good message to send just where our country is, where the state of our industry is. Resilience is really important.
All the things. I still have to finish my blog post on this.
Yes.
I just got caught up on all the work this week. But yeah, that was a good find. My first one is listening, and just in all the heads down work that we had to get done this week, I leaned on, old faithful Duran Duran, and I think one of their best albums, Future Past, just had that on repeat while I got work done.
Amazing. My listening is only partially serious, but I do kind of love it, and I think it could end up on my Spotify Wrapped. It's called
Hostile. Come on, let's be. It's what? There already. Come on, it has to.
I've listened to it probably 5 or 6 times today since I found it. So it's called Hostile Government Takeover EDM Mix by A Gift from Todd, all one word. And so I don't know if you saw the meme, but it basically started as a TikTok where this guy is essentially singing about how things are a problem and how are we going to fix it, and well, you didn't want her in office, so here we are with the hostile government takeover.
Right,
just kind of funny.
It is funny. Well, especially you got to watch the TikTok first, because yeah, once I
we'll,
saw that
we'll include both links.
Yeah, and then you listen to the other one, it's like, it's awesome. My last one is watching, and I actually haven't watched it yet, but I picked up The Grifters from Criterion Collection that just came out recently. That is my kind of treat to myself, is getting to sit down and watch that after a week of hard work.
Yes, sir. All right. So what are we high-fiving this week? What do you think?
The cards, you know, they're actually, we've been talking about this for so long. They got held up for months. Last year, and so it's just so nice to see the photos of them, shrink wrapped. We don't even have ours yet. We have to put in a merchandise order for the hats too, because we have brand new baseball caps in our
same
store.
Same team caps, a new T-shirt, and our cards. So feel free to grab any of them. High five
to all
you.
Of them.
I'm really proud of all the work. You've done amazing design work. Nora from Lightburn called it candy when she saw the card design on LinkedIn.
I saw that.
So high five. All of this looks amazing, and I'm so excited to get it out there.
Me too. High five. Have a good weekend.
Great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Brett and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.